Yeah, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. This week, they're going to be talking about trying to change the people around you. Let's listen in on the conversation.
Hi.
Hi, I'm a bit nervous.
I'm very nervous.
Are you?
This is the first.
You're like giddy. Nervous. It's like
everyone's told us to be really natural, and we've got like
lights.
How do
you be natural? Like we got lights and cameras and cameras
everything.
And lights.
Well, I know.
We've got to act professional, okay,
yeah.
Mate? So just keep it together.
Got
okay?
it.
Because you're representing me now as well. All right.
It's not all about you.
Sometimes it is, Amelia.
Sometimes it is.
So I want to start off with a song. I think we should do that. You ready?
Go for it.
Okay. Do you know that, just quickly, that was my wife's father's song, his favourite TV show, which was about those two old dudes. I can't remember what it was.
The Odd Couple.
The Odd Couple. Very good. God, you would have been a fetus when that
came out. Like, come on.
Anyway, so, but that was her, and when 1 year it was like her dad's anniversary of his death, he'd been dead for ages, and that day I just started singing that song, and she just literally, she just burst into tears, like, oh
really?
My God, that's my dad. My dad died this day.
Tuning so. In.
Just saying, oh, that's kind of what we're talking about.
I actually was thinking that's kind of what we're going to talk about.
But that
today.
Wasn't set up,
this
was
is,
it?
So this is episode one of,
yes,
our currently podcast. Unnamed podcast.
Yes.
Very natural.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah, I can see. Yes.
Do you feel natural?
Yeah, I feel natural. So what are we going to do?
This whole podcast, why we're doing the podcast.
I have no idea why we're doing the podcast, so I'll leave that to you.
Well, we're doing the podcast so that people can see, get to know us a little bit.
Sure.
And also for us just to be ourselves and talk about anything that we want to talk about,
yeah,
in whatever way we want to talk about,
yeah,
it. So we're not restricted anyway to...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, share our information because
we're not in front
of
an audience.
Light of information,
yeah,
to share about.
There's a lot to get out.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But we've just come, speaking of a lot to get out, we've just come off a 7-day STP program, which is like 14 hours a day. Just
landed from Melbourne on Saturday. We were sat on the tarmac for about 6 or 2 hours before we flew because of the winds. And we had a lot of it was good. Every time we do that program, that 7-day program, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and when I think about what the theme was, if we talk about what the theme seemed to be, like on about day three, people started to get this inside out thing, you know, and I think that it's lovely to watch people start to realize, oh my God, I'm actually influencing the world from the inside out. Yep.
Yep.
And so what happens is there seems to be a switch that flicks inside of people where they realize, oh, okay, so I've been expelling all of this energy trying to change my world and my environment and trying to, you know, compete and get to where I needed to get to, when in actual fact, the only place that change plays into the illusion that something is wrong, but the only place that people had to move was on the inside, and how the world, our outer world, is waiting for us to adapt.
Yeah, so the common theme is that, or the biggest... Everybody knows it in some way, but I guess the biggest thing that happens during that program is that they get a deeper and deeper and deeper understanding that everything that they think is happening out here is actually in here, and that whenever they're saying something about someone else, that they're actually saying it about themselves. So we spend a lot of the time in that program really getting people to have the experience of that, not just knowing it, because, you know, by this stage of the work that they've done with us, they know it intellectually, but it's about getting to know it at a deeper, deeper, deeper level.
And I think it's the only thing that seems to get people to that point is that is reflecting back on people's history. That if you really check back in time, when your life has changed or transformed in some way, it's always been triggered by something that happened inside of you. Does that make sense?
Yes, but yes and no, though, because it's happened. The only reason that they've gone inside is because something's happened outside.
Yeah.
So they're looking on the outside and they're saying, oh, like a common thing that people will come to us to begin with is that they're pissed off with their husband or they're pissed off with their mom and they're pissed off with something that's gone on outside of them. And the only way that gets them to shift to realize that there's something different is when they get to look on the inside.
Yeah. So it seems like then that, you know, the realization of a person getting that their outer world is pressurizing them to look at stuff, you know, it's, you know, because we're pressurized all the time, you know, you come up to a set of traffic lights, you know, you got a brake, that's pressure, you know, so we're being kind of perturbated or pressurized from the outside in, and that pushing of us from the outside in makes us stop and go, okay, I need to do something, but what do I do? How do I do it? How do I create the reality that I want if I feel as if I'm, you know, pressurized all the time, or I'm wanting to change everybody else? You know, so many people go to me, oh my God, can you fix my husband? And I really want my husband to do this. And it's like, you can't do that. You know, you have to understand you're trying to fix in them.
What you haven't worked out in you, what you haven't loved in you.
Yeah, it's like if you want to be able to fix your husband, maybe you've got to communicate different, or you've got to take responsibility for what you're blaming them for, which is difficult for people, you know.
Yeah.
Because
remember that corny thing of when you're pointing one finger at somebody else, there's three pointing back at you. Mm. But that's the concept that people, it's like they get it in a way, but they don't have that experience of it. Yeah. It's like, well, if you're saying that your husband's being a certain way, you haven't.
Or your wife.
Or
let's
your
not
wife.
Be sexist.
Of course.
Let's not be sexist like that.
Definitely
that
could
was a
be
bit
the
sexist
one.
Of
yeah,
you, mate.
Sure. Let's say your husband's acting a certain way, and give us an example. Controlling's a big one for me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
It took me a while to recognise that I was controlling and that to be okay.
You're not controlling.
I am. I'm very controlling, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. So it's okay that I've lost what I was going to say.
You were talking about controlling.
Yeah, I know.
You know how we're trying to fix that in the husband.
Yeah, so if we're expecting that, if we're labelling the husband as being that way, then it's because there's a part of us that has that trait, quality, characteristic, and we don't want to own up to it because we think that controlling is bad. And so as a result of that, it's easier to blame the husband, or it's easier to point fingers at, you know, it could be the husband, it could be the boss, it could be the kids, it could be anybody, and instead of recognizing that that's a quality and trait within ourselves.
Yeah, and the other thing is that you kind of have to be ready for that point, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes, you know, it's difficult for people to conceptualize the fact that their husband is just them. You know, they're just you. They're just projecting back to you your unfinished business. And I know in my life, like, it was for years, it was difficult because I got a really strong, like, my wife is really headstrong. She's really, you know, she's really switched on. She's comes from a very left-wing
background
and family. So, but it was difficult at first for me to go, okay, well, where am I that, you know? But those pressures turn up in their lives to bring us together. You know, they're you know, humans do one of three things. They either revolve in their emotional states, or they evolve in their emotional states, or else the relationship dissolves and dies. So, and lots of people go spend time in that revolution state, you know, where they're just having to agree to disagree, agree to disagree, agree to disagree, agree to disagree. And then I found that the thing that actually gets a person to wake up is when they stop and go, okay, what am I condemning you for? If I'm not able to fix it in you, maybe I can evolve it in me. And the way to evolve it in ourselves is to stop and go, okay, well, where am I doing the same thing?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So how would you say to somebody who's never done any of this stuff, Brian, how would you say to them that they, you know, because sometimes for some people it's pretty like full on. What they're seeing outside of them is really, really full on.
Yeah.
And the truth about it is that we know, because we've done this for many, many years. Yeah. We've been working together for like 14, 15 years
now.
Is it
that long?
It's been that long. Feels like it went so quick, didn't it?
I know.
But we've been doing
things happen fast when you're in love, right?
Yeah.
Love speeds up space and time, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you've made me lose my train.
Have I?
Yeah.
How many beers did you actually have in the evening?
Before I came in here.
Did you? Were you drinking again before you came in here?
I need to remember where I was at.
Come on, you can do it.
Not if you keep interrupting me. Some people have had stuff that's happened. Like, we've been doing this for a long time, right? Mm. But some people have had stuff going on for them. So they see really extreme on the outside. Yeah. Like,
this way. Yeah, you know, so they're caught in that
really
extreme.
They're really caught in that extreme.
So even the mention of us doing this on a podcast will probably piss those people off.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I can't possibly see that I'm just as controlling, or I'm just as arrogant, or I'm just as rude as that person.
Yeah.
But the truth is, we know that it's there because we've done this for a long time. But how would you go about speaking to someone who hasn't done that, or who hasn't known how to check in with themselves?
Yeah. Well, there's a really easy way to own stuff, which I love, which we use all the time. Right. So I'm going
to
drop it.
You're going to have to remind me.
I'm going to drop it. Okay, I'll try. So the best way to do it is to go to the earliest event.
Yeah.
You know, go to the earliest event where you perceive this person was being controlling. And it's got to be in terms of time, space, and location. So you've got to be able to describe the environment.
Yep.
Because when we're going to transform our lives, it can't be generic. It has to be...
That's a big thing because people like, oh, they see someone being rude.
So I'd say this to them and they go, but I've tried to do that. And I go, no. You got to listen to what I'm telling you to do.
Because they're not being specific.
So you've got to be specific. You've got to be in that time.
Let me interrupt there, right? Because the reason though you have to do that is because when somebody is condemning someone else for being rude, they're trying to say that, oh, I would never do that.
Yeah.
And because their brain is caught in, I would never do that.
Yeah.
The only way to, like, get the brain to see anything different is to go to a specific moment.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to a specific moment, you're screwed.
And if you don't go to if you're generalizing the event and the time, you'll get a general answer.
And a generalization of the event is like, I always did this or he always did that. Yeah. You're not going to a specific time.
Yeah, you're laboring the point now. Okay?
Yeah, no. Sorry.
So if we go to if we get them to go to a specific event in terms of time, space, and location. So when I'm working with a person, I'd say, no, I need to know, okay, what color was the carpet? Where were you standing? Were you in the kitchen? Okay, who else was in the kitchen? Who was opposite you? Who was there? What color are the tiles? What was on the cooker? So they're actually in the moment. And then when they're in the moment, you say to them, okay, how many years ago was that? And they'll go, oh, that was, 15 years ago when we first met. How long had you been together? We'd been together about 5 months. Okay, so that was the first time that you got that they were being controlling. Is that right? And they'll go, yes. And then I'll say, okay, when you worked out that they were being controlling, did you then start to control your emotion towards them or your behavior around them at that time? And they'll go, well, yes. And I'll say, okay, so at that time, 15 years ago, in the kitchen, they became controlling. And in that exact moment, you became controlling. And they'll go, yes. And I go, okay, so, and do you see then that 15 years ago you became controlling, and for 15 years you've held that concept in your mind and you've never done anything about it, you've never spoke about it, you've tried, but you've done it from perhaps your way, but do you see then that for 15 years you've also been controlling? In that moment, they can sometimes literally spontaneously burst into tears and go, holy shit, yeah, so everything you've been condemning them for doing, you've just been doing to the same degree, just in your own way.
Everyone does it in their own way.
And everybody does it in their own way. And that's a really, really great technique for taking responsibility, because only when we take responsibility can we invoke change or transformation in our lives.
Yeah. So
you have to get that they're just you. And perhaps they're calling on you to get that you've been controlling, but also to elevate your behavior to a new level.
Because, well, I like that. I think, to me, it is all about responsibility. And I think when I first came along and did this work, it was, I always felt like, if I could change everyone else around me, my life would be okay.
Mm.
If I could fix everybody else, that I would be fine. It was their issue.
Well, it's their fucking fault.
It's their fault,
isn't it?
Yeah, totally. So that was my mindset coming in, because I didn't get that I was the one projecting it. I didn't get that it was coming from how I saw it. And it wasn't until I saw it and until I looked that I realized that actually, as soon as I shifted at a deep level, that everybody around me shifted and I was the common denominator. I was the one in charge. Yeah. But
because when you're standing there going, she's a fat cow or he's an asshole or where's the problem?
The problem's in you.
It's not in them. You can't feel what is going on for another human being unless you really know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, unless you really know how to connect with someone. Yeah. So, but the thing about it is that when we haven't got anything good to say about ourselves, we have to project it outwards.
I really like that. I love that. Say it
thank
again.
You. No.
The thank when you don't have anything good to say about yourself, you say something bad about
that's my
other
line.
People. I know, I get it.
So don't
I'm just
use it
repeating
in
it.
The future.
I'm just trying to ground it, make it real.
Yeah, when you haven't got anything good to say about anybody else, you have to say something bad about someone else.
Mm.
And so that's us projecting onto the world.
Sorry, I'm gonna interrupt. So when we've had a lot of people come to us and say, I'm thinking about one person in particular, but I remember she was struggling with her son.
Yeah.
And she came to us and said, just help me fix him, sort him out.
Yeah.
And I think you probably know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
As soon as the as you basically like called her on it and said, you can't work on him, you can't fix him, you have no control of what's going on.
Well, I actually called the son into my office. So the son had been brought down by the mother. And I called the son, and the son was a 15-year-old, and he was in a school uniform. And he sat in my office like this, you know, like a 15-year-old. So I said, how you going? How are things? And I said, listen, I think that you and I have a problem. And he looked at me. I said, I think your mother is really fucked up. That's literally what I said to him, and he went like that. And I said, so I need you to help me here. I want to do something. What I want to do is I want to work with your mom. And I know, is your, because he was literally suicidal. I said, is your mom, you know, imposing her values? Is she trying to, she wants you to be a certain way, learn a certain way, be a certain person when you grow up? And he said, yes. I said, well, you understand that she's doing that because she loves you. But when, you know, when somebody has a projected view of how the child should be and the child can't match up to that, well, the child feels there's no reason for life. Why should I be here? So the mom was imposing a reality onto the kid that the kid couldn't match up with.
So she was trying to fix in him stuff that she hadn't dealt with in herself. In the end, we worked with her and his life transformed as a result of us working
and
with her.
You know, I think it's important to understand, when I'm saying to someone, I think your mom is fucked up, I don't actually mean she's fucked up. What I mean is that there's a great opportunity here.
Well, that was your way to connect with him.
To connect with him. Yeah. So the minute I said that, he was like, hey, because he was probably at home going, my mom is fucked up. I can't, there's nothing I can do to get it right for her, which you can understand.
Yeah, he felt like somebody finally understood him.
And the beauty about it was, is that, you know, through working with the kid, because the kid literally used to come in and sit down and we'd talk about all sorts of stuff, and then I'd bring the mum in and I'd be like getting her to wake up, getting her serious about what was happening and making her realise and become congruent and realise that you just got to get, what does he love, what does this kid love, encourage him in terms of what he loves and what inspires him. And when you talk to him, you'll watch him light up. Just watch for the cues when you talk to him about what he loves. Fall and get interested in who he is, watch for the cues, and you will watch life come back into him and he'll be like inspired.
Yeah, but the point there is, going back to the actual point, it is that when she got that it wasn't him that she was trying to fix, then he transformed because she started to recognise in herself all the stuff that she was condemning in the kid, you know, that he wasn't organised, that he wasn't doing, you know, he wasn't stepping up, all the things that were valuable for her, she was, and she wasn't doing in her own life, she was condemning in the kid.
Well, we were working on the kid in her.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
She was realizing that all of her dis-on parts were just showing up in her son. And
so,
yeah.
Tell me a dis-on part that you're seeing showing up in your kids.
I don't think I have any.
Oh yeah, because you're like.
No, I'll tell you what. What dis-on parts do I see? Well, you know, I have three very separate kids. Like Lexi is like this little surfy chick, tall, you know, and Lola is like this little actress. She just, you know, throws her
superstar
foot around everywhere. She wants to be a superstar. And then Oliver.
Did you hear what she said yesterday? Sorry to interrupt. Did you hear what she said yesterday?
No.
She introduced herself saying, "I'm a fashionista and I'm wearing high heels." That's how she introduced herself.
She's
yesterday.
Six.
Anyway, she's six. Anyway, go on.
And then Oliver just wants to dismantle everything, and everything is ball. But so I think one of the you know, it depends. At different times, everybody challenges, the other kids challenge me in different ways.
Yeah.
But the disowned part that I've been learning with my three kids is patience. You have to understand that they pull you into place and they pull you into pace. So I have to stop and go when I'm like, because I'm a billion miles an hour human being.
No,
you know, like
I've never noticed that.
I've got 50 million things on at one time. You know, there's a part of my disowned self that wants to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to keep telling him to calm down and take it easy and we're going to get there. But when I'm dealing with my kids, you know, they slow me down at the right times. You know, in the morning it's like they're leaving the house and it's like, where's my shoes? Get your shoes on. You gotta put your shoes on. Where's my shoes? And they're gonna get their shoes, and then they go out and they're in the car and you go, have you got your school bag? You haven't got my school bag, left that inside Dad, so you have to slow down, you have to go, you know. So they really, really, really slow me down.
You still haven't quite owned that yet, I've noticed.
Yeah. Moving right along.
Moving on. Cool. Yeah. Well, do we have anything else to say on that topic?
I don't know. I think that we've done all right.
So let's sum it up. What did we just say?
Well, it's important to understand that take ownership of whatever you're condemning in a human being.
Whatever way that takes, and even if that means just sitting back and going, okay, go to a time where I've done
like,
it.
Like, there's no way that this can turn up in your world and be annoying you that much.
Unless it's you.
Unless part of it is you. Yeah. You know, there's no way that this, whatever we call, has created this scenario in your life. Unless you're destined to learn something. You know, life doesn't fuck with us like that. You know, it's not that malicious, and, you know, life is here. Humans are information gatherers, problem solvers. We're here to learn more about ourselves and shine. That's what we're here.
I think you said something important there, because you said unless a part of that is you, the reason people don't want to own it is because if they see somebody else being rude and in them owning it, they feel like that's all of who they are. It's not all of who they are. It's just a part of who they are. And it's cool to own that. Yeah. Yeah. Part.
Well, they just think that a part will pollute the whole.
And
that's just
crazy. And each part is necessary for the evolution of the whole.
I mean, think about it. You're going to need to be controlling in your life. You know, you're going to need to be aggressive in your life. Yep. People don't get that.
Explain that to people.
Well, they only want to own themselves in halves. You know, anybody, you can't get rich collecting coins that only have one side. Yep. I mean, you got to own every single part of yourself, including the killer, the murderer, you know. You got to own those bits, the controlling part. You know, you've got to, because if I'm dealing with a construction site,
yeah,
right, and I consider myself a compassionate, empathetic, loving, understanding, but I'm a serious player. You know, I don't suffer fools easy, and I think that I like keeping people accountable. And if I'm dealing with a building site and the builder's 6 weeks late, I'm not going to go on there with my compassionate part and go, oh, you know, this is really, I understand, and that's okay. I'm going to go on with my controlling side that says, listen, you either pick up that shovel and start digging a trench, or I'm going to hit you over the head and throw you in a trench. So they need to know that there's, and then when it's time for reprimand, I got to know how to reprimand. Yeah. When it's time for reward, I got to know how to reward.
So you've got to be able to grab and utilize all those parts of yourself. Otherwise, you're only half a person.
Yeah, you don't want to get around in halves. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool.
Okay.
I think we've made our point.
What are we talking about next week?
We are talking about money.
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 Right.
Money, money, money.
Over and out.
See ya.